This is being described as a landmark study on relationships and the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in America. We've forever signed up to the idea, in theory at least, if not in practice, that we should be in a partnership with the person who is simpatico with us, our best friend maybe, perhaps the person who has the qualities we lack and we have the ones they're short on. And all those notions don't go out the window by any means, but nor are they paramount. Dr. Samantha Joel is joining us from the Western University in Toronto. She's a psychology professor and director of its Relationships Decisions Laboratory. Hi, Samantha.
Hi.
You used machine learning to analyze the relationships of nearly 12,000 couples?
That's correct.
What's the advantage of machine learning?
It allows you to look at many, many variables at once. So with traditional statistical techniques, you can usually test a handful of predictors at a time. So maybe you'll look at how communication predicts relationship quality or sexual satisfaction or conflict. But with machine learning, you can put hundreds of predictors into the same model.
Gotcha. It's not who you're with in a relationship that is crucial. So what is it then, please?
It seems to be about the relationship dynamic itself, the relationship that you build. The whole is more than the sum of its parts. The relationship is its own thing that is more than the two people who make it up.
Okay, understand that. It's what you build.
Yes.
But don't personalities determine all that? Personalities are still crucial.
Well, I think it's an open question now. The traits aren't actually adding any predictive power above and beyond your perception of the relationship. If you think that this is a satisfying relationship, then you're going to score highly on this. And if what you're looking for out of a relationship is, you know, a pragmatic partnership, then you should rate yourself as satisfied.
Yeah, which may make a lot of people who think, because we're bombarded with images and of the perfect relationship, aren't we? And we see that all around us. So this research might make people a bit happier with what they've actually got and built.
I mean, yeah, I would hope so. It's got this very, the grass is greenest where you water it sort of message to it, where it sort of suggests that it's about the effort you put in and the dynamic you're creating, rather than, you know, trying to fix your partner or choose a better partner, because the partner's traits don't seem to be all that important. It's really about what you're getting out of the relationship. And that's something that we personally have a lot of control over.
Yeah, interesting you say the grass is greener where you water it. It also suggests that the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence if personality doesn't matter that much.
Right, and insofar as personality does matter, it seems to really be your own personality that matters. And, you know, everywhere you go, there you are. So if you change out your partner for a different partner, you are still half of that relationship. And so insofar as it is about the individual, I think it's about, you know, working on yourself. It's still very much about yourself and your own behaviors. That seems to be what to focus on.
Yes, you've taken yourself with you to the new relationship, haven't you?
Yes.
A common dynamic must be that people settle for who they've got. They settle for shelter from the storm of life without going outside and braving the storm and growing as a person, you know, which a lot of books, you know, entreat everyone to do. But that satisfies people. It mightn't fulfill them in all sorts of ways. But so your conclusions depend on your own point of view.
Very much. Very much about one's own state of mind.
Yeah. Professor Samantha Joel is with us talking about relationships. You can be depressed, anxious. There can be important areas of your life not functioning that well, I'm inferring, but the relationship can still be fine.
It can. Those traits seem to matter very little once you have that relationship in hand. I mean, I think you're right, coming back to your earlier point, that, you know, one's own traits do go into that relationship dynamic that you built. But once you've built it, you have it.
Okay, so you've built a house, and although you're both arguing about the colour of the walls and what to plant in the garden, etc., etc., and maybe you argue all day about all sorts of things, the house is the thing. Is that the image we need to have in our heads? If you've built it well enough, that's the crucial aspect.
Yeah, I think that analogy works. Given how much the relationship seems to change over time, and maybe more like a life raft or something with a little more movement to it.
You're living in a caravan. All right. Okay.
There we go. Yes, yes, a mobile home.
A previous study of yours asked why people stay in unsatisfying romantic relationships. What was the main reason? I think it surprised you.
So there are a number of reasons why people stay in unsatisfying relationships, such as they're too invested to leave. You know, I've put all this time and energy that I don't want to waste. If I leave, it was all for nothing. Feeling like your alternatives aren't really good. So if I leave, you know, who else will I be able to date? I can't think of any good people in my social circle to date. But the reason that I found that was, you know, new to the literature was pro-social concerns. We don't want to hurt our partners. If you end a relationship, you're not just ending it for you, but you're also ending it for them. And if you think that your partner doesn't want the relationship to end, you know, you're sort of inflicting pain on them, and it's difficult to do that. And so that can dissuade people from ending a relationship too.
That was the main reason, wasn't it? They took into account how the other half would fare, would survive, would cope.
It was a strong predictor, yes. Even if you haven't invested all that much, you're not getting a lot out of the relationship, and you think you could do perfectly fine on the dating scene.
Is that noble? Do you see that as noble, or is it foolish?
I mean, opinions will differ. Personally, yeah. I don't think it's a good strategy to stick around in a relationship that's not meeting your needs.
Meeting my needs, that's right. But that can be illusory, can't it? Which comes out in your latest research as well. You know, the reasons why relationships work aren't always the simple ones that we read about in the popular magazines.
True. Yeah, it really depends. I think it's pretty idiosyncratic what it is people are trying to get out of a relationship and what are those needs? What needs are you trying to have met?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. All right. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, that was really fun. I really enjoyed that interview. Thanks for all of your insightful questions.
Samantha Joel, Professor Samantha Joel.